I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 30 just for an introductory word. Isaiah 30, verse 20. What a joy it is to be around here during these weeks and months. And I'd like to point out in this text here one of the reasons why we enjoy gathering together so often. Let me ask a question. First of all, how many of you enjoy gathering together here? Okay, yeah. I feel that way, that we enjoy this fellowship. And this verse, chapter 30, verse 20. Know the Lord give you the bread of adversity. What's the bread of adversity? I can't pay my BG&E bill, car accident, doctor's report, teenager gone off the rails, marriage trouble, divorce, emotional problems, depression, fear. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity. Maybe in all that list, it isn't from the Lord. It could be from the devil and our sin nature. Nevertheless, though we have trouble and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. A teacher being removed happened in 1 Kings 13 when God sent a prophet up to Samaria and said, go up, do not eat or drink, and come back. Go up and prophesy and return. Why did God want the prophet to go up, give the prophecy, and get out of Dodge? Get out of town. Because that country was under a curse. The teachers, the prophets, were removed. Amos says, I will send a famine, not of bread, but of the word of God. Amos 8, verse 11. One of the curses that comes on a country is the absence of the Bible, the absence of the teachers, the absence of Bible schools, the absence of churches, the absence of Sunday schools, the absence of the Word of God. That's a curse on a people. But God said to Israel by Isaiah, he said, but even though you have your trouble, I will not take your teachers away from you. This is a blessing. Because this is more than knowledge. This is fellowship. We'll see it in a second here. We are so thankful we are in a country where we can have these meetings and what they mean in the development and growth of a person, what is happening in them. Actually, I have a little illustration I thought of this afternoon, and I was going to use it a little later. Do you have a phone? Are you going to trust me? This is not a trick. These bags are like people. Okay? How are they like people? Wrinkly. Light. The wind blows, yeah, weak. The wind will take that away. How many of us have seen, you know, the wind just take a bag away? Just, whew. It's Psalm 1. The wicked are like this, like chaff, like the wind drives away. But the Word of God, when it's put in somebody, okay, that's the value of a teacher. That's the value of your Bible. That's the value of God's Word. when you die, that's there. It's written in heaven, Malachi 3:16, in a book of remembrance, and it's written in you, in fellowship. It's your content. It's truth. When we have adversity, and this bag can have the adversity, but if you have adversity, the good news is, and read the, in the next part, it says, and though the Lord give you the bread, yet shall your teachers not be removed into a corner, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Well, that couldn't be any clearer. They are real people. Your eyes will see your teachers. Somebody could say, I don't need a teacher. I'm at home in my library or in my closet, or I'm on YouTube, or I've got my teaching coming on. My eyes will see. By the way, social media, emails, phone calls, all that is a form of communication, but that cannot replace that one time when you meet that person in person and you shake their hand and you say, it's good to finally meet you. That's called what? Three-dimensional reality. That's a handshake, that's a face, that's a person. It's good to finally meet you. Even though I know you by email and social media, now my eyes see you. Okay? Is that true? You guys are serious tonight. We're going to change that in a minute. No, wait. Let's go. Verse 21. Listen. You're good. You're good. It's all good. Verse 21, your eyes shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And that is happening to us. Don't underestimate the value of it. Don't underestimate the value of listening. It was what changed my life, and it changes yours. The value of listening in every service. And sometimes I was at a place where, you know, will I go to the service or not go, or I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go all in. I'm going to be there. I'm going to go all in no matter what. A hot summer day up in Maine, up in the evening time, and I just did it. I just went to the service. And I don't know really what it ultimately, I don't know how it works, but I just know. There's something that happens to us when we hear a voice behind us saying, you know. Now, the last thing in this part, it says in the scripture, God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Now, this is different from people. When people, it goes like this, let there be light, and somebody walks over and turns on the switch. We have a mechanism to let there be food. Okay, we go buy the food, we prepare the food, and we work. There's a process. But when God said, let there be light, guess what? There's no record of a process. Only there was light. There was no process. In Psalm 29, it's written there too. I can point it out to you. Please turn there. Psalm 29. Verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Do you see it? Verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Then what does it say? The Lord is upon many waters. Go to verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars. The voice of verse 7. The voice of the Lord divides the flame. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shaketh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. Yes. Do you know what I see in there? It's the voice of the Lord and the Lord are the same. It's the same. What he says is. Now think of it this way. If the word is in me, this is God that is in me. The minute I receive the word and I hear the word, that's God. That's not a process, so to speak. That's God. God is in you. Who speaks? God. What happens? God. It's just God. We're in fellowship with God. He is our friend. This is God. This book is actually God's word, and Jesus is the word of God. And this book is actually, when God speaks it, it is God. That's it. This is what changes our lives. I don't know about the method. Maybe there isn't even any. It's just God is present. God said, you are free, period. You are free because God said, God is. This is truth. Even though if you have the bread of adversity, you will hear the word. You will see your teachers in front of you, but you will hear the word behind you. That means that God is saying something. And as you hear God, it is. It is simply truth. And the truth has set you free. This is our fellowship. We are friends of God. And we'll speak about that a little later. But let's finish verse 21. It says, and your eyes shall hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And let me add these words. When you turn to the right hand, God is present. When you turn to the left, you're in fellowship with God, who is your friend. God loves you very much, and he speaks to us. And we have found something extraordinary, really. Amen. Okay, turn in your Bibles to the very last verse of Romans 10. And I would like to speak tonight about God, your friendship with God. You are a friend of God. So, first of all, Romans, the 10th chapter and the last verse. Women's seminar is this weekend, and it'll be a precious time. Natalia Chung is coming from California as a guest speaker, and Don also, Pastor Jason, and also myself. I have a portion in there too. So that'll be this weekend. Romans 10, in the last verse, 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. How easy it is to be a disobedient and gainsaying people. How easy it is to ignore God and not have him as our friend. How easy it is to walk away from him or never really be with him because you don't think he is friendly. Many people do not believe that God is friendly. They're afraid of him. He is a judge. He's tough. He's strong. He's but when he said, I've stretched out my, how does it say? I stretched out my hands And does he do it all day long? All day long, I have stretched forth my hands. So what does this look like when I do this? The cross, isn't it? I've stretched out my hands all day long to a disobedient and rebellious people. Does God want to be your friend?
Yes.
How do we know that? Because when a friend does this, they're saying, I'm open. Here I am. I'm here for you. What do you need? When a friend, when a person does this, or something to show the body language of not protecting himself, not protecting himself, but vulnerable. I am open to you. When they were on the ground looking up at Jesus on the cross, cursing and blaspheming and mocking him, his arms were still out. He could have disappeared. He could have said, okay, it's over, I'm done. But he didn't. He's a friend. There's high regard in the scripture for friendship, a friend. And Jesus says this in John 16, or John 15, and John 14. So go there, please, to John 14. Please, John 14. Verse 23. This was Sunday's message. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. So if we use those bags again to show something about what has happened in our life, is that we love God and we keep his word. He loved us first. He saved us by his grace, justified us by faith. We are justified, and now we are friends. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you. I have saved you by grace. I am for you. And now, if you love me, then it says here in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Actually, obey them. Keep them. But obeying them isn't hard if the word is this way. God said, let there be light, and what? There was light. That's not hard. God said, take up your bed and walk, and what happened? The man got up and he walked. It's not hard. If the word is what we're saying it is, something extraordinary, something that's from God for us, and if we simply receive it, believe it, keep it, meditate on it, relate to it, then what will happen to us? We'll see that in a second. But go to verse 23 again. It says, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now God is talking like an amazing friend to us. How do we know God is a friend? Because he's a Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always have been. They are love. They are friends. Has God always had a friend? Yes, it's himself. But it's not him, it's his Son. But his Son is the same as him. Have they always been friends? Yes. And the Holy Spirit? Yes. That's the Trinity. That's love. That's love. That's amazing. When God made us, he made us in his image. It's kind of stamped on our nature. We are made for this friendship. We are made for love. We are made for it. We're made to be loved. We're made to love. We always go back to that. We always go back to, I want to be loved. I want to love. I want to be loved. And I want to give love. I want to be loved. I want to love. That's what I want. I want a friend. You know, at the end of somebody's life, like David and Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus is going to die the next day. What does he do? He has a banquet for his friends. You are those that have been with me. You are those that are called. But one of you is not one of us. You know, and he pointed that out. But they were in a goodbye party. And I go away, but I will come again to you. You will not see me, but you will know me. This is what he said at the Last Supper. The other example is David, when he's dying in 2 Samuel 23. I mean, it's not in the process of dying in that chapter, but at the end of his life, more or less, when he's looking at his life and he's heartbroken about his family, but he has a list of 37 mighty men. Who are they? His friends. You know, when a rich man is dying, he's not saying, how much money do I have? He already knows that. It's more like, who are my friends? Where are my children? Where is my wife? Where is my family? Bring them here. I want to see them. Why? It's stamped in our nature. We are made for friendship. And we find it with people. But the greatest thing that you and I have going on in our lives is communion with God. Because he's all day long stretched his arms out to a gainsaying people and saying, I want to be your friend. I've done everything possible to be your friend. I've hung on a cross. I've shed my blood. I've given you prophets. I've given you the gospels. I showed you my son. All day long, I'm saying to you, I want to be your friend. And then what is Jesus saying here about us? He's saying, it's happening. When you hear me, when you hear and keep my word. You want to show up the bag with your phone in it there for a second? Okay, yeah, there you go. What's the difference between that bag and the other one? Yeah, there was only one thing between difference between people. Who has a relationship with God? It's working. The relationship is working. It's affecting me. It's affecting my heart. It's affecting my life. It's affecting my decisions. It's affecting me. That's what I feel is happening in our fellowship. It's affecting us. Little by little, it has an effect, but it hasn't just started. It's been going through our lives. I praise God so much that I was able to sit and listen, and I heard something. It wasn't like behind me in that way. It wasn't the teacher himself. It was God. That's the meaning of that. It's God that's with you. It's God that affects you. It's God that gives you the joy. It's God that gives you the obedience. Now go to the next part. It says here, in verse 24, he that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And, okay, we've got that. I'm looking for another part. It's verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. In verse 21. He keeps them. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It's obedience. What's happening? You hear the word, it has an effect, and you obey. You obey. You do it. You obey it. It happens. You obey it. You hear it. You receive it. And it's the word that is doing it. The life of God, the reality of God. And God is with you. Who's doing it? God is doing it. How are you living your life? God. How's it working? I don't know. I'm hearing God. I'm hearing God. What do you mean you're hearing God? Should I call the doctor right now? No, I'm hearing God. I don't know. I'm just reading this. I'm listening to it being spoken. And there's some still small voice, some fellowship of communion and desire in my heart. I want to hear it and embrace it and keep it and trust God and believe and worship God. That's all that it is that's happening. That's what's going on. Now, in closing, turn to Psalm 1, please. And this is the key to the whole book of Psalms. Here's this one psalm. I think I got to get my bags ready over there, my plastic bags. Okay, let's go. The first bag, Pastor Steve, you want to bring them up for me? Yeah. Okay, is verse 1 to verse 3. It's not necessary. I know you're smart enough. You know what I'm saying, but it just gives me a little bit of a few seconds for it to digest in your mind and heart. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is the counsel of the ungodly? Get a divorce, maybe. Maybe. Get an abortion, maybe. Don't go to church anymore. Don't go to that church anymore. Don't read your Bible. You're going to become crazy. Don't even think about it. I have a little video tonight. I don't know if we'll do it for the wrap, but it's a mission about this family in Pennsylvania, Amish and the Mennonite community. And they were farmers up there, and they had it in their heart to be missionaries. And the community was giving them all kinds of excuses not to do it. But they decided to do it, and they went with New Tribes Mission. And they went to this people in Papua New Guinea. And it shows it's a reenactment of what happened. And to see the people, suddenly it dawns on them that Jesus Christ is true. That Jesus Christ, and it shows that, and they just, it grows, and it takes 3 months for the missionary. I mean, he's there for years learning the language, and it's very interesting video, but you see, e-tau, they were saying that means it's true. And then they take the missionary and they put him up over their heads and they are dancing around. And there's so much joy in the village because there was so much fear and so much demonic darkness. And it was so hard on the people. And to see them changed like that is such an inspiration. And here it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The beginning of the psalm is about the nots, the things not to do, not to listen to. That nots, and not the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the judging or the scornful. Many of us know this psalm for years and maybe have heard many messages on it. It's precious. This man has found, which one is this one? Meditating, delighting, in verse 2, in the law of the Lord, And in the law, he meditates day and night. What is he meditating on? Finding himself? No, he is meditating on God. What is he meditating on? His addictions, sins, personal problems? No, he is meditating on God. How does it happen? God said, and it was. God said, and it was reality. The reality of God in your soul. This is a miracle of grace. This is a walk of faith. This is a discipline from God given to you. So you're able to say, No, I don't want to listen to that. No, I'm not there. That's not where I'm at right now. I'm not there. That's not interesting to me. I have found like a meditation, a worship. I found content. I found food. I found instruction. I found doctrine. I found a way of life. I found a word to obey. I found something that's really stable in my life. I got it. I mean, there's something moving in my heart. And in the course of my Christian life, especially in the beginning years, there are people that wanted to take me away from what I found. But you couldn't drag me away from it. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why, except this thing in here is not me. That thing is not me. You understand me? This is not me. This is God. This is the Word of God. This is imparted to you. That's it. That's the thing that changed our lives. Look at the next part. It says, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I found it. Of course, you know what I'm saying. That the believer will say, I found it, I got it, I found it, I got it for the rest of my life, I found it, I got it. He says, he's my friend. God said to Abraham, shall I do this and not tell my friend Abraham in Genesis 18? What amazing. Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, I chose you. I call you my friends because I tell you my secrets. The word secret, remember that word intimacy? And Ula told me from the internet, I think, it means two pillows, the Hebrew word, two pillows, like in the Middle East, two pillows laying and telling secrets to each other. God is our friend. God is our friend. God tells us things the world does not know. God tells us things that are reality. It's not like a process. It's like, let there be light, and God is saying, I got to do this and this, and then there will be light. No, he said, let there be, and there was light. Life, freedom, righteousness, joy, peace. God is in you. He is in you. You are listening to him. You are hearing his voice. Now, why is it so interesting that we sit here quietly and we're just listening like this? Because the flesh doesn't get it. The flesh is like the other verses there. Look at verse, should we skip and go down? Oh, yeah, let's do it just to be crazy about it. Let's skip a verse. No, we can't. Verse 3 is too good to go. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. How about COVID time? Has your leaf withered? No, my leaf is not withered. Why hasn't it withered? Because we meditate day and night on the Word of God. This is the reality of God. How about in your troubles? Have your leaf withered? No, it doesn't wither. It prospers in whatever it does. Look at verse 3. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Huh? I think God has shown us something by the Jewish people. Wherever they go, they end up to be in charge. Have you noticed that? The Jewish people, And statistics will show it. They don't have alcohol problems like other people. They're raising their kids, they don't have the problems like other people. Success in life, they are good at it, and they make it, and they do it. Why? What is God saying to the world? I am God. I have chosen, I want to speak to the world about me. And those people, you cannot destroy them. If you curse them, you will be cursed. But if you bless them, you will be blessed. What more can we say about it? Well, we are spiritual Jews, Romans 2:29. We have this book. And what does the book say? You meditate on it day and night, and whatsoever you do will prosper. Wow, the leaf shall not wither. I don't know, do you want to hear more about that just for a minute? I do too. I don't know. When we have seen it happen, we have been missionaries in many different countries. Many of you sitting here tonight, you've been in Africa and China, many countries, Australia, Pastor Butch, and it just, we have the word of life. What happens by the preaching of the gospel? How a school is born, how a friend is made, how disciples are made, how things are decided. We brought the basketball power group, Bill Alex, and what's the name of it? Sports Power, over to Hungary. We had an auditorium, we had games, it was on TV. We did a live manger scene in Hungary. Do you know what we did? We needed a live donkey, but we couldn't get one. We needed a couple horses for the three kings that came to see Jesus. This was a live manger scene that Pastor Brian, and you know how he can get things done and how good he is at it. And we were doing this as a team. We had great things happening, but we went to the police. Rita did it, I think, in the team. And we had three policemen. They had to dress up with the turbans and everything. And because only the police had the license for the horses to be in the city. But the donkey we had to bring from the zoo. And we couldn't transport the donkey by a truck. So the zookeeper brought the donkey by the metro. By the subway. The donkey went down the escalator. The donkey went on the subway. And the donkey came back up, and we had our manger scene. Isn't that cool? And it was televised in the country. Like, for a number of years at Christmas time, we had this show. It was great. You know what? You may find yourself prospering in whatever you do. Guys, there's something going on in you through the Spirit. Doesn't mean I don't fail. It just means that I have God with us. We have God in fellowship. It doesn't mean my life is perfect. It just means that we find a way. It doesn't mean that I don't fall down seven times. It does mean that I will get up again. Because God is my friend. It doesn't mean you won't go to jail. It just means that when you're in the jail, you end up writing the book of Ephesians. Which reminds me of another funny story. Sid Root was on our team in Hungary, and he had a vision for the Chinese, so he wrote up his own little track, and he made a map where you could find him in the city. And many years later, I think 4 years later, I met this Chinese woman who was working for us. I said, how did you become a believer? She said, I'll tell you, I found this piece of paper with the map, and I tried to find one of your people, and we said, Sid Root, and yes. And I go, well, what happened? She said, well, I tried twice. I tried to find the place where the meeting was, and I was the only one in the meeting. I finally found it on my second time, and there was a big book there, like a big, thick book. It was actually the Bible. And I listened to the man, and I thought he must be very smart to have written such a big, thick book. And I also understood that his name was Ephesians. How did you get saved? How did Sid Root lead the person to the Lord? Yeah, God. I don't know how. How does it work? I just know that you and I have this, and it's a great gift to us. Don't let the world take, don't fill your mind with the counsel of the world, and don't fill your life with the movies and stories and people that just tear you down and will not give you hope and encouragement, because your friend is God, and all day long his arms are stretched out like this for you, that he is for you and not against you. But listen, here comes the bad part. But the ungodly are not so, verse 4, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So let's do the big huff, puff, and blow. Go ahead. Who are those people? Does it break your heart? Breaks your heart. Breaks your heart. Tragic. What are they thinking? What are they doing? How are they living? What are they doing? What's their life? What's at the end? What do they have? The ungodly are not so. What are you? Wow. How'd that happen? How did it happen? God said, I am the Almighty God, and without me you have nothing. But I cry out to you all day long. Come unto me. I am God. If you want to know me, I am all about it. I made you in my image. I am a friend. I am your Savior. I am your answer. I am the Word. I am what you're looking for. I am what you need. All the parties that happened. Remember, King Herod had that big party, and the girl danced and seduced him. And we said in our morning devotional, how have you ever been in one of those parties? Way back in high school or college or wherever it was, have you ever been in one of those with packed rooms filled with people, dancing, loud music, people talking, and the whole thing going on, and your guard is down? Nothing good happens. And King Herod murdered John the Baptist because of that party, and it hasn't changed. These people are empty. Empty suits, empty people. They are empty, filled with lust and passion and power and desire. And their counsel is ungodly. God is not in it. When you can take a baby who's 8 months old inside the mother's womb and rip the baby out of the mother piece by piece, then that's barbarism, that's emptiness, that's lust. And how about the woman saying, how about saying to the woman, don't have sex? Don't have sex. Well, I have a right to my, you have a right to nothing. God decides what you have. You should come to God. Yes, you have a right to destroy and live like that. And to vote for somebody, to vote for any kind of group of people that are supporting that barbarism is stupid. I'm so totally against it. There are many other wicked and evil things that happen, and they come from my own heart. I'm a wicked, sinful man also. So as I judge that, I'm judging also myself. And I'm saying, Jesus, I've committed every single sin that's written in any book, anywhere in your book, and you know that in my heart. I haven't done them, but in my heart I am as bad as anybody. But you have said you came to make me your friend and to speak to me and give me another life. And I thank you for it. Now, what should we do about this? We should have some compassion for what is happening around us and be communicators of some good things. Jesus was so tactful, so kind and loving, so firm and bold and not afraid. I cannot imagine how he lived here with us and showed how much God is so humble and he cares so much. He did, and he does. It's a pretty incredible thing. So Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So, let's end close. Jesus, sometimes in a church they say, we're not political, we don't want to say anything political and so on. And we understand that, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about truth and about evil things that happen in our world. And we are not part of it. We are not part of it. We are separate by God's grace. We want to evangelize in these days and also see people trained to do what we do and to stand in these places of influence and make a difference. It will happen. It might take time in our development and growth, but it will happen. We end up saying something that comes from the Holy Spirit and from the heart of God. We'll show grace, we'll counsel, we'll end up helping people. And we'll teach a lot about forgiveness and grace. Yes, Lord. Bless our work. It's a big work. It's a huge work. It's an incredible work. Nobody could do this. And who is sufficient? Because this is not men. This is something more. God is our friend. We are friends of God. Lord, bless our country, we pray. Bless our night tonight. Bless our meditation tonight, in the morning, and through these days. Thank you, Jesus. If you're not a believer, come to Jesus tonight. Say, Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, I come to you by faith. Save me. I want to be your friend. You are my friend. You love me when I was not your friend. And I receive you. You love me on the cross to be my friend. And I accept that. I believe in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.